Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome to our spoiler-free review for Three Body Problem. They are coming, and there's nothing you can do to stop them. Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast. My name is Nate, and this is our spoiler-free review for Three Body Problem. Special thanks, as always, to our friends at Netflix for letting us watch this series early for review. If you're joining us for the first time, we are Geekcentric, a podcast focusing on the world of movies, TV shows, video games, and all things Geekcentric. Joining me for today's spoiler-free review, let's just say the older he gets, he's had more than just three body problems. He's Justin, the juxtapositional Lunar Lawrence.
That is true. As you get older, things just don't work the same way. And I'm mainly talking about my back and not any other extremities.
No, it's like the moment you hit, like, what would you say, 30? And then it's like everything just starts to hurt and you can't stay up as late. And yeah, it sucks.
Life finds a way.
Sure.
The one great Jeff Goldblum or Dr. Ian McKellen. Is it Ian?
Ian McKellen. Dr. Ian McKellen from Jurassic
be a doctor.
X-Men. Dr. Ian Malcolm. There we go.
Ian Malcolm. Dr. Yes. Ian Malcolm. There you go.
Yeah. I wonder how many. But he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that has body problems. You know what
Jeff
I mean?
Goldblum?
Yeah. He's dancing.
He's pretty young and spry, I guess. But I bet you he would probably talk about, like, my back, you know. He's tall, too, right?
My back.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Well, listen, we're not here to talk about all of our bodily problems. No, we are here to talk about three body problems. And we're gonna talk about this this first season from the creators, David Benioff, D.B. Weiss, and Alexander Wu, and inspired by the internationally celebrated novel, The Three-Body Problem, by Xichen Liu. Three-Body Problem is an epic story that redefines sci-fi drama with its layered mysteries and genre-bending high stakes. In the series, a young woman's fateful decision in 1960s China reverberates across space and time into the present day. When the laws of nature inexplicably unravel before their eyes, a close-knit group of brilliant scientists join forces with an unorthodox detective to confront the greatest threat in humanity's history. The series stars Jovan Adepo, John Bradley, Rosalind Chow, Liam Cunningham, Isa Gonzalez, Jess Hong, Marlo Kelly, Alex Sharp, C. Shimuka, Zine Tseng, Samar Usmani, Benedict Wong, and Jonathan Price. Three Body Problem debuts globally on Netflix on Thursday, March 21st. If you're listening to this as of the day that we've released it, it is on Netflix right now. So you can either check it out and then continue listening to this, or we're going to try to keep things as spoiler free as we can. I would say it's tough to discuss this series without spoilers. I think going into it without even watching a trailer is actually a really good thing to do. But if you do want to kind of get a little bit of a hint of whether or not you think this, if this series is for you, definitely give us a listen. Of course, this is David Benioff and D.B. Weiss working with adapted material from a book. Justin, this is something that they were obviously made famous for with George R. R. Martin's Game of Thrones. So seeing those names certainly gets you hyped up. Whether or not the show lives up to that hype, we will get to. But I wanted to start off, Justin, talking about the cast. I think, right away, like with Game of Thrones before it, this being a trilogy of books, there's a lot to set up, and that means there's a big cast of characters to follow. And, some stand out for good reasons, others don't stand out as much, and a couple feel like their story is mishandled. But I wanted to shout out. I wanted to start off by shouting out Benedict Wong as Detective Shi. I think he's the first person you see, you know, in the trailers that I know I just told you not to watch. But Benedict Wong as Detective Shi, he's definitely the most relatable of all the characters. I think I love how he's always like perplexed and amazed, but at the same time, he's so calm, like it's just another day. And in a show with such high science and sci-fi concepts kind of swirling around, it's great to have a character that's just trying to do their job, which does change significantly moment to moment in the show. I think he's the closest thing to a vessel that we have for the audience, but I wouldn't say he's the main character. I don't think this show really has a main character, but what we do get of him is always consistent. And I don't know. I like seeing Benedict outside of the MCU's Wong. Like, I love Wong. Don't get me wrong. Didn't mean to rhyme there. But no, I think he's pretty fantastic in the show.
Yeah, he's great in everything he does. I think we need to see Benedict Wong doing more outside of the MCU, because then people won't just think that he does MCU stuff, because he had a right. career before that,
absolutely,
you know, in the acting. So you know, I agree with you. I think he is probably of all the characters the most relatable. That's a really good call out to this show, because I don't think any of the characters are really relatable, except for Benedict Wong's character. I think he is probably the most relatable, but to your point, he's not the main character, and there is no main character. And I think that's the problem that I have with this show is that there is no sort of central character to this. And mind you, from what I was reading, at least, and listeners, if it's not true, please let me know. But I heard that a lot of this additional supporting cast are new additions. They weren't in the original
to the
source
story.
Material.
Okay.
Yes. So, and I think that shows in a lot of ways, because I can't relate to any of these. The current generation characters, I didn't really care for their story. I think, again, the concepts, the ideas within this sci-fi world are so very interesting and so very unique in comparison to other sci-fi dramas and shows and books that we've seen. It's very, very specific and unique. And it almost takes a back seat to focus on these characters that I just had no connectivity to. I didn't find them relatable. I understand that they're very smart and they're very intelligent. I just don't know if what season one was meant to do was either introduce me to some really interesting concepts or introduce me to a whole bunch of people that I'm supposed to care about as we go potentially into a season two. I don't know. Just, it doesn't feel balanced.
I mean, I get what you're saying for certain characters. I do still think like Xin Sang is incredible in the show. We get to see, as the description just, you know, says, it's like we do get to see a decision made by a woman in 1960s China. She plays that woman, and I don't know. Like, I thought like her story was the most compelling.
Was the most interesting. I would have rather just seen that though.
Right.
I would have
like stayed in that timeline.
Exactly. Sure. I didn't need everything else, because there's a very generational quality to this story. And that's very much represented both from in the cast and also culturally specific, as we pointed out, right? Like, this is more of a global story.
Yeah.
And I really,
London,
really do,
China. Yeah,
exactly. And I appreciate that idea of wanting to fuse more of that, because this is a global issue that they're talking about. And obviously everyone would have to come together, and it has its own approach to how it, you know, deals with sci-fi in that, you know, it's not robots coming to kill people or, you know, spaceships that are, you know, going to fight it with an army and stuff like that. There's problem solving. There's negotiation. There's this idea of using intellect, the human power to kind of overcome what threat is upon them. And that's interesting, but again, I just don't know if there was enough focus on that, right?
You
I don't know if there was.
Okay, Justin, you were not charmed by Liam Cunningham, freaking Davos
again,
himself
another,
coming in.
He's another very interesting character, like Benedict Wong. They could have just been the main characters,
sure,
right? Just they would have been the anchor, good cop, bad cop kind of mentality. And
yeah,
I really enjoyed the dynamic of the two of them on screen together. I wish we had more of it. I wish there was more. They were more the center of it. At the beginning, it very much starts with them, and then it just kind of fans out after that into the rest of the group.
Yeah.
And again, it's nothing against any of the performances. I think it really comes down to the writing. I think the performances are all great. Everyone was able to deliver very, you know, emotional, very heartfelt performances that felt sincere. No one felt like they were acting. But I just don't know if the writing for this show from David and DB really hits. I think this is a bit of a muddled mess.
Well, it's interesting because I think as far as, again, I can't agree with you totally on all the characters. There were some that I really did enjoy and did connect with. But I think characters like Augie, Augustine, played by Isaac Gonzalez, and then you've got Will Downing, played by Alex Sharp. It's interesting because, you know, in their stories, it's almost like they either they are important until they aren't. And then, or they aren't important until they are.
Exactly.
And then
that
it's
is the problem
the
with the
season,
show.
The season has a, yeah, the season has a really big, I mean, it's fair to, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that there will be a twist at some point. And once that twist kind of happens, once that big sort of explosive moment happens, you kind of get this sort of, you get these characters that are almost, it's like they've reached their peak of importance. So they kind of go away. And they kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit. And I think that's unfortunate because I do think there are some really powerful performance moments from both those actors. And you know, I think there's a great emotional beat with Isa, with Augie. I think, again, same thing I would say with Alex. But again, to your point, because they get lost in that shuffle, you're not finding yourself as emotionally attached to these characters.
I think, though, that's for something like this that is situating itself as this, you know, global story and trying to intertwine all this, you think they would have a better handle on how to kind of guide us through and anchor us with specific characters. But you described it perfectly. They're either important till they're not, or they're not important until they are. And I think that's exactly what bothered me. It's like some of these characters, I'm just like, what is this person here for? And then suddenly it's like an episode, and then it's like they're important and they're not. And I'm like, okay, like, do you know what I mean?
Well, it's tricky because you've got, you know, okay. I guess the idea with me, and again, I keep bringing up Game of Thrones because it's the last thing that they did that I can compare to. And you've got a large amount of characters, but we get to spend so much time with each of them, even within the first season, that you do care about what happens to them. The big giant twist at the, you know, at the end of season one of Game of Thrones really hits you hard for a character that's just, you get to, you know, kind of stay with. And I think it's paced better. I think the idea with this series in particular, and like, I'm not a writer, so obviously I don't know what the frick I'm talking about, but I almost feel as though the bigger this story is, because this is a massive global scale situation that we're dealing with in this show, it almost seems like you're right. The smaller the cast should be, the main cast, right? Yeah. We should have a tighter connection to these characters.
Something easier to follow, right? Yeah. To like anchor us too, because you're absolutely right. Like, the end of season one of Game of Thrones, like, even having only, when I had watched it, people had watched and said, oh, it's great. Not knowing anything, sitting down and watching it, I'm like, okay, you know, it takes a little getting into, but then you start into it. And then there's that moment that happens, obviously, in season one, and you're hooked. And by the end of it, you care about all the characters that you saw, right? You pretty much stick with the Starks the entire time. But by the end of it, you care. You're like, I'm hooked. Redemption story. Here we go. Right. Yeah. And at the end of this 8-episode season one of Three Body Problem, I'm not emotionally invested. I'm not driven by the characters and what they're doing so much that I need a season two. I'm like, when it happens, it happens. And it seems like this is a pretty big investment for Netflix because of, as you mentioned, DB and David's previous work and, you know, garnering that attention and bringing that over. So I really do hope that they can hone in on season two if they get greenlit for it. Who knows? I'm sure they already have been greenlit, if anything, because honestly, this first season feels so incomplete. Like, it doesn't end in a satisfying way that makes me feel like I'm invested in this. It needs a season two for the reasons just to make season one justifiable in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think there's some elements regarding the story and pacing that we will talk about. I do want to mention the music here. Raman Djawadi, who I am a massive fan of. You've heard Rahman's work on Game of Thrones, on Westworld. And, you know, here we've got Rahman giving another go at a sci-fi epic score, which for the most part, I enjoyed. I think it fits the series really well. I can't say there's one particular theme throughout that sort of continues through that.
The theme song that plays off the top,
which, yeah. You know, I think to like some of the themes in Westworld that do carry through the different characters and you sort of, you know, when you hear certain scores, you're like, oh, okay, here's William, he's back. Well, and, you know,
the best example, better than Westworld, is Game of Thrones. Like,
for sure. I think, you know, there is a signature though that Djawadi does use, and it only happens once in this, which is Rahman Djawadi likes to use a lot of pop culture songs and gives them almost like an emotional, heavy orchestral cover, which is used, I'd say, once for a very emotional moment. And I think it really, really hits when it does in the later part of the season. And you will hear comparisons to Westworld in the theme song. Like, as soon as the theme song kicked up, I'm like,
yeah,
that's Rahman Djawadi right there.
And just speaking about that, you know, the mm-hmm. music is very serviceable to the story in a lot of ways. I think, you know, it is very signature to Rahman's work. And it sounds like his work, but I feel, you know, again, it's very, like you said, there's just nothing that's overly identifiable about it, mm-hmm. right? There's nothing that really just stands out about it. So it was there.
For sure. Yeah. I think the visuals, as of this recording, we've watched screeners that said still in progress. So the visuals may vary, but for the most part, they worked for me. I mean, I think, you know, there is and this is in the trailer, but, you know, there's a virtual world, let's just say, that these characters do enter into at one point. And you can definitely see some wonkiness, I think, especially in the first few times that we go into that world. But I would almost argue that it kind of also can work at times because it is a fake world. Or, you know, I think if you can suspend your disbelief beyond our current scientific capabilities in our world, I think the visuals might not matter as much because of how sort of incomprehensible they are. And I don't know. I thought, like, with what they were showing, I dug it. I thought it worked. I didn't have any problems with it. It didn't take me out. But what were your thoughts on the visuals? Did they work for you?
No, I think that whole virtual reality element to it is an interesting narrative device, which we'll mm-hmm. talk about. But I don't know. I felt like it was very, the visual effects felt very flat in a lot of instances. I think that they just did. Yeah, they didn't really have that sort of realism to it. It definitely looked fake, and I don't I guess, like, to your point, that might be in some ways you could justify, well, it's a headset and it's supposed to be virtual reality, but mm-hmm. I know we've criticized other things for, you know, far less, you know, in terms of what they've done and how they've used visual effects. And I feel like, again, for this, it's like, I think there was one instance where it did feel like it was very in a world, mm-hmm. but for the most part it felt very digital. It mm-hmm. felt very volume-esque, if you will, to a certain degree. Probably even more just a green screen, blue screen situations, because mm-hmm. I don't know if they need the volume, but, like, yeah, it just felt artificial and sterile.
Would you say the same thing about the moments outside of that virtual world as well?
No, I wouldn't say that about that. Like, there is some cool stuff that blends those two worlds together, and there's one specific moment in an episode that happens, you know, that even felt like a sort of artificial curtain sort of peeling over. Okay. It was all right. But I don't know, the stuff that they shot, the way they shot the more, you know, the more narrative driven stuff in the real world, mm-hmm. that was done well with great sensibility of cinematography and, you know, lighting and stuff like that. I think that stuff definitely hits, but anything that revolved around kind of more CG focused stuff, I think it showed in a lot of ways. But again, like, to your point, we saw these screeners and, you know, they might be still work in progress. So
possibly
at the time, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into, I think, the kind of the big thing that we've been sort of hinting at talking about throughout this review, which is just about the story and the pacing. I think this is where things get a bit trickier. Again, this is the first of a, trilogy of books that focus on concepts. Like you said, Justin, they're very original. They're very peculiar. They're massive. They're just big, big ideas, moral messages that even gave me vibes at times of Oppenheimer. Just in terms of what they're discussing,
I think they referenced him one time.
Do they? Yeah.
You
know, there's questions of mortality, the far reaching future. Do we care enough today about multiple generations in front of us? There's science versus religion, but in a way that you wouldn't initially think. And all of these things kind of like my ears would perk up every single time that we'd sort of dip our toes a little bit into there. And I think the writing does a good enough job not to hold your hand too much, but as far as the narrative storytelling, but they have to take a good amount of time getting you up to speed so that you can at least understand like 50% of the high science and the high science fiction elements. And they do that a bit too much through expositional dialogue. I think you're going to lose, you know, there's going to be some audiences that are going to get frustrated with that type of dialogue writing. And I think it's kind of unavoidable in a story like this one, especially a season one. And I do hope that, like you said, if we do get a future season of this show, that they can scale that back a little bit, that we can kind of have a little bit more, I guess, just tighter, more interaction between the characters that doesn't involve them just talking about what they're about to do or what they're, you know what I mean? Like they're not just explaining the science behind it all.
Yeah, I actually think that there's moments of that, obviously, but there's not a lot of it. It is, you know, like you've said numerous times, even as we were kind of watching this show, it's like, you know, Benioff and Weiss are known for not really holding your hands, and that's how mm-hmm. they did it with Game of Thrones. But I think that there was more of a focus there. I think here there is a lack of focus. That's the problem for me. Is it all, you know, there's so many different themes and things at work, and then you have characters to kind of very much juxtapose against those themes and what they believe in and so on and so forth. There's just a lot. It's really mm-hmm. dense. And I think mm-hmm. that affects the overall pacing and structure of this first season, because it's about giving you what you need to know. So A, you can feel invested and you could care for mm-hmm. the characters. And I don't know if it really gave that. Like I thought the first episode was actually very jarring. Like there's very little like introduction. We're just suddenly thrown into things. And again, I think that is, you know, like we said, Benioff and Weiss, that's how they like to do things kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you think about back to the first episode of Game of Thrones and how you're introduced to each of the characters in the Stark family.
Mm-hmm.
It's memorable.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember how I was introduced to Will or Jack or why I was introduced to them. Again, all these performances are great, but these characters are just so clunky in the way they're inserted into the story and
mm-hmm.
how they're sort of meant to serve the purpose of mm-hmm. of moving the story forward. So, you know, when you take that element and you mix in this idea of these sort of high level thoughts, the things that you talked about that are really, really interesting that they're playing with in this story, it's just like that should be the focus, right?
Yeah.
And it's not. And because of the pacing and what they're trying to do, it suffers.
Yeah, and I think there is also an emphasis on the mystery box of it all that gets in the show's way a little bit. I think there's I just think that's where we can kind of lose the connectivity in those characters, right? Like I finished this season less confused than I was going into it, but also a little less intrigued as to what happens next.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not a good thing.
Even
if I'm the same level of confusion, I should be more intrigued. And so to your point, like you said earlier, like, yeah, I'm going to watch season two when it happens, but I'm not, you know, unlike these characters, I'm not going to be, you know, kind of counting down the minutes until I see that next episode. I'm not left with a big desire to jump in right away.
Right. Yeah. And I think, like you said, like the name of having Game of Thrones created, like writers attached to this, really sells this idea that it's going to be epic and a cliffhanger. And, you know, there is an epic scope to it. But I just, like you said, I think less confused and also less interested in what's going to happen next. But I've seen it, so I'm probably going to have to watch season two to see how it all unfolds.
Yeah. If we get a season two, right? That's the big thing. I hope.
Well, that's just it. Like, I think I think, yeah, we'll see if we do. It's, you know, it's Netflix. We're always, whenever we talk about Netflix and potentially a future season, well, you never know. It's like walking on eggshells, right? Like, yeah. I know that a lot of it does really come down to the positivity and how it's received. And I don't know, this, you know, we're late upon our review, but there's a lot of people that have put out reviews and it's very mixed. Some people are like celebrating it for its, you know, its freshness, its unique approach with sci-fi.
Yep.
The sort of global elements, the cultural elements, you know, it all, you know, there's a lot that works for audiences out there. But yeah, I think for us, or at least for myself, I can speak for that. I have problems with it, and it's apparent.
Yeah. How many problems do you have? How many body problems do you have? It's full circle, everyone. Let's get to our overall thoughts and final score for this season one of Three Body Problem, which we're going to be rating on a scale of 1 to 5 body problems. Justin.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I've been kind of hammering throughout this review, I feel like this adaptation really does struggle, you know, with balancing between the grand ideas within the sci-fi social political realm that it lives in, and also just having relatable characters that I care for. As I mentioned, I had read that the show is moving away from the source material by introducing international scientists, like our main cast that we stick with, instead of focusing on just the singular characters, characters like UNG. And while she is there, her story feels so secondary because there's so much other things going around that deviate from that story. And while, you know, like we were mentioning before, like some of those characters are enjoyable, I just feel like they fail to like seamlessly integrate into this story, into what was supposed to be an original story. And I just think that most of the character arcs are really irrelevant. I think you said it best, like they either matter until they don't, or they don't matter until they do matter. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a great way to understand how these characters are weaved through this story. And at the end of it, do I care? I don't know. I do like, though, that again, the sci-fi approach, there's something different about it. There's some really interesting ideas that are being explored. Even just the idea of emphasizing problem solving and negotiating over typical sci-fi tropes, like I mentioned, you know, spaceships going to space to fight an army of robots or aliens and stuff right. like that. It seems more sci-fi in the sense it's like science fiction. Mm-hmm. How would we on a global scale deal with a threat like this? And
it's harder on the science than the fiction.
Exactly. It's harder on the science. And I think that that's an interesting approach, right? Because I think that gives that in itself is probably one of the more relatable parts. I feel like the way things are being handled might be the same way they would be handled today if something like that happened to us. It's more aligned with that. So that's really interesting. But I don't know, man. Any of what all of that really fails this narrative. I think it really does fall short. So I'm going to be giving this season one of Three Body Problems 3 body problems out of 5. Yeah, it just failed to really hit the mark. Not that I was expecting anything big. I didn't know what I was expecting, right? I was expecting something interesting, but I think, you know, there's a real reliance in sci-fi on its characters and the importance of those characters. And you look at something like Lost. I know you love Lost.
I love Lost.
And you see how they were able to make all those make you care about all those characters and understand all those characters
within one season. Yeah.
Within one season, and they do a lot of time jumpy stuff and tell you their stories. I cared about those characters after the one season. I was hooked. And I don't know. I just feel like these characters, they shuffle in and out. Pacing is up and down. So 3 out of 5 body problems.
Yeah, I think there's, like we're saying, there's a great cast. There's some great performances to be seen in the show. There's a, you know, a slightly overwhelming level of intrigue that, while intriguing, can get in the way of a more streamlined character focused narrative that we kind of long for, as we're talking about. I think there's some understandable yet expositional dialogue that I just hope is not as heavy in a season 2. I think we were talking offline, Justin, and you said, like, if season 2 is walking, season 2 needs to run. And I think the only way they do that is by kind of cutting out some of that explaining the science behind everything and just kind of focusing a little bit more on, like we're talking about, on these characters. Rama Djawadi gives a score that fits the dark tone. I think I enjoyed my time with this show. I'm interested to see it continue, but yeah, I'm not like just counting down and I'm not ready to jump into this next season right away. Like, I'm not like chomping at the bit for it. So if you're a fan of hard sci-fi, massive timeline stories and big casts, I definitely say it's worth checking out. There's a bit of a stick-to-itness that you kind of need to have if you're going to go into it. And if you're not hooked by the first like three episodes,
bail.
Yeah, you might just bail
just
out.
And that's
okay. And that's fine. But if you do stick with it, I do think there's some really, really cool stuff to see within it. But I would also, like you set the expectations earlier, I would set the expectations of like... There's not going to be a ton of satisfaction at the end of what you're getting. You're not going to get, you're going to get answers throughout, but you're not going to get like an answer that makes you go, I need to see what happens next. And I think that is a problem with three body problem. I'm going to give three body problem 3.5 body problems out of 5. I'm going to give, I liked it a little bit more, but yeah. That is it for our review of Three Body Problem. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, make sure to subscribe to us wherever you like to listen to podcasts. If you haven't already, and if you want to write into the show with your thoughts on this series or any of the shows or movies we cover, well, let me just send my thoughts through a particle accelerator over to Justin so he can let you know how you can reach us.
Well, they can reach us at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. That's wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. Or they can reach out to us on Twitter or the app formerly known as Twitter, known as X. At GeekCentricYT or on Instagram at WeAreGeekCentric.
Keep in mind, we also have a ton of other great episodes covering the latest in movies, TV shows, including our recent spoiler-free reviews for X-Men 97. I know.
That's like, a show you need to be watching.
That's a show you need to be watching for sure. Invincible Season 2, Part 2, another show you need to be watching. Kung Fu Panda 4, Extraordinary Season 2, and Dune Part 2. We've also got our watch club for Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3 happening with our current episodes out now, covering episodes 1 to 7, and our next episode out soon covering episode 8. We also have some great interviews out now, like our most recent interviews with George Buza, who plays Beast, Lenore Zahn, who plays Rogue, and Jake Castorena, the supervising producer and supervising director. All of them, those lovely folks, are from X-Men 97. Justin sat down to discuss with them the return and revival of the classic Saturday morning cartoon. So go check out those interviews both here on your podcast service of choice or over on YouTube at youtube.com/geekcentric. Again, subscribe, leave a review. It does help us so much. We've got a ton of really great stuff coming this month and all of 2024. So subscribe and you can join us as we cover all things geek-centric. Justin, thank you so much for joining me for this three-body spoiler-free review. And as we say, love ya.
Peace.